Welcome to the MS Fitness Challenge Podcast, your source of inspiring information concerning multiple sclerosis, fitness, and health. The MS Fitness Challenge provides guidance and support to people living with MS and fitness professionals worldwide on the benefits of exercise, nutrition, and mindset. I'm Maureen Manley, your host, exercise scientist, 30-year strong MS warrior, and director of integrated wellness here at the MS Fitness Challenge. Joining us from North Carolina, our special guest is the inspiring Nikki Reed. Nikki has been managing MS for 17 years. For the first 8 years of her diagnosis, she was running marathons and teaching high-intensity fitness classes. In 2014, Nikki went through a series of traumatic and extremely stressful events that triggered her health to plummet as her immune system fought against her. Her health crisis spurred her to learn all she could to improve her condition. Her journey led her to a drug-free, faith-filled, alternative way of healing. Nikki now shares her wisdom and support through a positive, uplifting podcast called Three Blondes, One Battle, all led by three ladies, all managing MS. Welcome to the show, Nikki. It's fantastic to have you with us.
Oh, well, thank you for having me.
Oh, it's so great to have you here. You know, to start, you've been through so much and have learned so much, and you offer a lot to people living with MS through what you've experienced with your own journey. Can you take us back to how your journey with MS began 17 years ago?
Yeah, sure. It's a long story, so I'll just summarize it a bit. So I had just actually moved to Washington, D.C. From the state of Iowa by myself to take a job in a town that I did not know. So talk about stressors. I was actually diagnosed within a year of moving out there. The way that I actually was diagnosed was I started having a loss of dexterity in my right hand. So all of a sudden I couldn't type. And then it started kind of numbness in that right arm. Then it sort of, I would try to shake it out. And it wouldn't shake out. It started spreading over to that left side. So that was really the initial, what was going on with my health when I went in and got the MRIs, got the spinal tap. And that was really how I was diagnosed that was in 2005.
All right. So after your diagnosis, and correct me if I'm wrong, I understand that you kept a very active, high intensity, really fitness routine for yourself. You were still running marathons and teaching fitness classes. And so how did that change, or what changed?
Yeah. So, you know, after diagnosis, it was just kind of like a shock and awe. That was kind of the moment where, yes, I was still in the Army. I was an Army officer. I was Medical Service Corps. And so, my hobby, what I loved doing, was long distance running. So it really didn't affect me. I remember the day I got the diagnosis, I called my girlfriend and we were just crying. She was like, let's go on a 10-mile run. And that's literally what we did my diagnosis day. We just kind of ran along the Potomac River and I was bawling the whole time. And really, it did not affect me at all for years. My then husband was just deploying. I had just started teaching fitness classes and I taught the high intensity. We're talking, the jump trainings, the HIIT, the insanity. I loved the insanity classes. It really didn't affect my activity level whatsoever. Until about four years later, when I had my son. And they always say, you know, that symptoms might come back after you have a baby. So until then, I really thought I was misdiagnosed. And I thought, you know, oh, I'm totally fine. But that was actually my second attack right after I had my baby.
Okay. That was 4 years into your diagnosis.
Yep. So that was 4 years. I was still training for a marathon right after I had a baby. It was definitely a, you know, we had talked about this a couple of weeks ago, just you and I, but it was definitely part of that sort of fitness instructor, ego centered, how many fitness classes did you teach this week type personality. And so I wasn't, and so I really wasn't going to let anything stop me. So I remember being 2 weeks out from the marathon, and that's kind of when you start tapering the mileage. So it's still a little high, but you know, I was about 10 miles, maybe 8 miles, 8 to 10 miles outside where I lived in Wisconsin at the time, Fort McCoy, Wisconsin area. And I literally turned around and couldn't run. I got to my half point, turned around, and my mind, it was almost like the legs didn't connect to my brain. And I just remember thinking, maybe I'll just walk a little bit. This is weird. So I kind of started walking a little bit, and I'm like, this is weird. It's weird even walking. So I just kind of stood there for a while thinking, holy crap, could this be MS? Because I remember, obviously, when you're first diagnosed, being kind of freaked out, getting on the internet, searching all of it, looking to see what it is. And that was some of, you know, it's a lot involved with legs, which did not involve my first episode. So I remember having to hitch a ride back into town. And that was really the last time I had ever, you know, was ever able to run.
Okay. And then, so did you begin to adapt your fitness routines at that point?
So, you know, it was interesting. I was still able to jump train. I was still able to lateral move. I was still able to, do all the things except for running. It's almost like my brain, and it's obviously not called dexterity, but what's it called? Like the flow of sort of your legs. I don't know what that's called, but I lost it. I just could not from then on out run, but I was still able to teach classes. I was still able to do all the things. I just couldn't run. Okay. Very bizarre.
Oh yeah, very bizarre. There's a lot of stuff that goes into messages from your brain, getting down to your legs and feet and all the fine motor stuff that goes on to, goes into running. So, you were doing, you know, adapted, and you were still doing your fitness routines, after this second flare up after having a child. Yeah. So in 2014, you went through some really stressful and traumatic experiences, you know, one right after another, that really, from what I gleaned, and correct me if I'm wrong, that really caused your immune system to turn on you and say, no, this is kind of almost beyond MS, but also an insult to having MS. So can you tell us a little bit what was going on at that time in your life?
Yeah, sure. At that time in my life, I had already had a medical discharge from the Army. So I was out of the Army. I was still married, doing well. Dylan was still 2, 3, kind of 4 years old, that time frame. And then I went through my then husband had just gotten back from Afghanistan for an 18-month deployment. And I knew when he got back, he was back physically, but not emotionally. He was gone. It was like a shell of a person. And so, that's just kind of when my world changed. He left us. So he basically literally left us. So when they say abandonment, that's exactly what happened to us. And then I was forced to move out of the house, move into an apartment. I basically was going through, you know, hell, trying to figure out what's going on. Why did he leave me? And then enter adultery, which again is super stressful. And then I was fired within 5 weeks of him leaving. And this was right before Christmas. So all of that happened within about 5 week time frame and being fired after 10 years of a job that I absolutely loved. And anyone listening in the DC metro area, they know that as a contractor, they don't have to have have a reason to fire you. I just so happened to get a pretty toxic female leader that disliked me. So she got, you know, she had me fired. And then I had to move. So on top of it, all these major stressors that they say can cause attacks when it comes to multiple sclerosis. Top, you know, life stressors. I was going through all of them within a year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All at once. And at that time, you know, the physical fitness really didn't change much until, enter breast implant illness, which I had no idea what that was until I started having all these health issues within that same year. We're talking, you know, I all of a sudden had all these food allergies. And this was before leaky gut was even a thing. This is when Dr. Axe was actually answering his own phones, before people even knew him. And so I was self-diagnosing, adrenal fatigue. I had a kidney stone, ginormous size. I was diagnosed with IBS. I had rashes all the time. And I, gosh, it's getting really hard to teach classes. I had gained 25 pounds in less than a 6 month time frame, and I just based on how I do everything in life, I was researching it and I found breast implant illness, and I said, you know what, I gotta get these suckers out. So I did go through that explant, but at that point, my exercise, I mean, it was non-existent. I remember the last power jump I did and I landed on my ankle. Basically my legs were under me, but they forgot they were under me and I fell. And that was really the last in 2015. That was the last time I was ever able to do the type of training that I was doing before. So even after the explant, it was almost like my immune system was done. Like it was done. It took years after 2015 to regain and try to fix what that inflammation and all those life stressors had done with multiple sclerosis.
Yeah. Multiple sclerosis, and then pepper in a whole bunch of other things, not even pepper. I mean, it's so when I hear your story, I'm amazed at the kind of stresses, and you know, your immune system's stressed, and then you have this toxicity issue with your breast implants, and you know, it becomes this perfect storm.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't kind of sit around and say, "Woe is me." I mean, you definitely said this is hard and it sucks really bad.
Oh, yeah.
Into saying, what is going on and how do I fix it? So can you tell us a little bit about how you learned about what it was? And then, you know, you realized that you needed to get some of your girls out, the fake girls.
Sure. And
what an empowering thing to learn, because it's been a challenge for many women. And when you're fighting an immune system disease anyways, and you have mm-hmm. this trigger, but not everybody knows what's going on in their body because they don't take charge. So you took charge and you learned. Can you share a little bit more about what you learned, how you learned it, and then what you did about it?
Yeah. So it's interesting. It's just always been my personality. Really since diagnosis. So that's kind of in 2005, that's when I started digging. And I kept finding these sites that were, you know, claiming that they had all these testimonies about, you know, MS, so that I reach out to people, I'd get people on the phone. I'm really a self, I don't believe anything the government tells me. And I am basically anti big pharma. I've just always been like that. It's not recently, it's since diagnosis, because I would get these people on the phone and then all of a sudden their site would be shut down, or they would tell me like, oh gosh, no, like the FBI, like literally took all, they raided my house. They took all my stuff. And I'm like, really? Because you have testimonials for something natural. So that's kind of where, that's the year I started, when I was diagnosed, I started looking into amalgam fillings. Like we're talking before it was even a thing, because I would get people on the phone. I research everything, and I take it even further by wanting to hear from the actual person, their experiences, and how they're always silenced when it's just plants that they're using, or let's say like an $8, you know, antifungal every month. Which by the way, I loved her Candida Cure. I love that book. She was basically killed. Let's just be real. She cured MS. She's a doctor, right, that cured her MS, with an antifungal. But, anyway, so yes, I've always been skeptical. And so when this started happening to me, I'm like, you know what, Nick, you're going to have to really focus on your nutrition. Food has always been, something that I've really taken seriously. And I think if I didn't have that type of personality, and definitely if I didn't have Jesus, because when it comes to, you know, being joyful amongst the trials, that's really hard when you try to just do it on your own. But if you know that there's a bigger purpose for your life, and it's a purpose that you can't even plan out, like, yes, it's crappy that we went through a divorce. It's crappy that my son, you know, is being raised by a single mom, but you know what? It could be so much worse. And who knows what's coming up in the next 5 years. It could be the most marvelous thing ever. So that's kind of my attitude that I've always had, through the journeys of all of these trials. The nutrition has really been huge when it comes to, managing MS.
You shared with me when we spoke last week, you shared with me some of, how you work with nutrition, and I was fascinated, and I've heard this before, but you seem to have a really strong awareness of this food does this to my body, mm-hmm. and I can't have it, or I have to be careful if I do. Can you share some of your, I guess you'd call it a trigger, and how it is that you know, what foods are work well for you and what don't?
Sure. And I think that, it really, when it comes to multiple sclerosis, and I don't know, this could be with other, challenging diseases as well. But with this disease, I feel like it's very simple to, see how certain foods react with your legs. I think a lot of us deal with leg fatigue. I would say most of, people about 17, 20 years in, have some sort of fatigue in their legs. And so if you're just aware of sort of the quote unquote, let's just say quote unquote popular MS ways of eating, if you kind of compare all of them, they sort of all have similarities. And then you just kind of have to dig into, okay, why are they saying no gluten? Why are they saying no dairy? Why are they saying more vegetables and less sugar? So I've just always kind of played around with that. And I definitely test my body. So say I want to, oh God, lately I heard no caffeine, like no, that coffee is going to eat away at the, myelin. I'm like, oh, I'm going to act like I didn't just read that. But who knows, maybe the caffeine, maybe coffee, you should avoid that. And so I think just playing around with certain things when it comes to sugar, I immediately notice sugar. I mean, I can't to this day have a donut or I won't be able to walk the rest of the day. That's how intense sugar is on my legs. So I would say to the listeners out there, just play around with certain things. If you know that that's what the generality of, what the MS experts, nutrition experts are saying when it comes to MS, with the gluten, with the dairy, with the legumes, even eggs, a lot of people are allergic to eggs and they don't know it. And then I would also say to take it one step further. You don't need doctors to do allergy tests. You could start very simple. You could do the Everly Well. You could take it one step further and do the Viome, which is you give them poop. Well, really, that's like the best of the best. Of finding out your allergies. And then of course, if that's your allergies, you're going to avoid those. You don't want more inflammation when it comes to MS. Right. We're all trying to avoid the inflammation when we're eating. So that's really kind of where, that's really what I've done. I'm always aware. And then I really love the Best Bet Diet by Matt Embry, because I feel like it's doable. There's not like so many rules. It's just, the eggs, the gluten, the dairy, molecular mimicry, you don't want that. So if there's proteins releasing into your blood when you're eating these things that mimic what myelin does. You don't want to activate that. You don't want these foods to eat away at your myelin, do you? So it just makes sense. Yeah. It's just right. Research. It's just being, you know, taking control of this, because you've got one body and nobody cares about your body as much as you do. Not a neurologist, not any doctor. They're busy. They've got so many patients. Right. You got to do your own research.
Oh, I really admire that about you, Nikki. And you know, that I found in, you know, teaching people my courses about nutrition and MS, and some of the things that I find is that people like to be told what to do. And one of the things that I find is that people, not everybody, that we can disassociate, and I say we as people, even people living with MS, from our bodies, because we don't like the way that it feels. So it's like, nah, just tell me what to do. But if you can have the courage, like you illustrate, to say, this is what's going on in my body, and you've gone through the ringer, this is what's going on. I'm not going to run for it. I'm not going to try to find somebody to fix it. I'm going to be with it and learn from it. And what's common with MS nutrition, and then what can I do? And then pay attention to how your body responds. So congratulations for doing that.
How empowering is that?
It's incredibly so empowering. It's empowering. Uh-huh. And then I believe there's a brave step that comes before it. And that's to say, this is uncomfortable, this is scary, and I'm willing to be with it in order to see what I can do about it.
Sure. Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Yeah. And when it comes to fitness, I mean, it's just a journey. It took me a while to even be able to look at runners and not want to kill them. Like I literally would see a runner and just roll my eyes and just be like, oh, I hate that person because they get to run and I don't. That journey, that takes a while. It does. And you might not be able to go to the 5Ks or the 10Ks with your spouse that can still run because you're annoyed as crap that you can't. And that's okay. It'll pass. It might take 5 years, but it will pass.
Yeah.
And you'll adjust, and there's things that you'll be able to do. And then I just feel like when it comes to exercise, there's so much out there, and it might be above or below you. I should say it might be below you right now, just come from where you're coming from, high intensity intervals, from marathon running. Like, what do you mean? I can only do yoga. Like, that's so lame. But you know what? Like, yoga can be very hard. There's really some hard yoga that I can't even do. So it goes back to how you are kind of looking at everything, right? Like you can either say, oh me, your whole progression, oh poor me, your whole progression, or you can say, gosh, like, okay, so I can't do X anymore, but I can do Y. And then also, because it doesn't take as long as marathon running training takes, I can focus on researching nutrition or researching. I wonder what alternative stuff there is out there for, you know, MS. I wonder what is this red light therapy? What is this fecal transplant? Why does reflexology work so well? Like, you can research all these things in the time that you used to be taking, you know, on these long runs or in the intense exercise that you used to be doing.
Yeah. Oh, that's so beautifully put, because what I love about what you're saying, Nikki, is you're not saying deny the loss and the grief and that you would prefer things to be differently, in that it's not a this or that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it stinks. It sucks that you, me, mm-hmm. everyone that has MS has, you know, lost some things or has to deal with some things, but we still have choice. Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned, your faith, you know, for me, you know, when things are really rough for me, the way that I would say it, I would go toe to toe with my faith and not feeling good about my situation. You know, I would just say, well, does God have a bigger picture for me here? And why wouldn't it, mm-hmm. her, whatever you want to call it. And, absolutely. You know, really challenge that and just say, I'm open. And you just never know what's around the corner and what you're going to be capable of. And you have to keep moving and you have to keep doing. And it doesn't mean that you shouldn't be sad, mad, or angry. I mean, all those things are natural too. So thank you for sharing that with us. So
yeah, part of, absolutely.
You know, you've learned a lot about stress through your, you know, I'm just going to call it your 2014 experience. I mean, I know that it carried on and continues to, because I don't know about you, but I know that I have triggers that, because of what I call my beat up immune system, my beat up central nervous system, I feel things before mm-hmm. things get big, and I know how to intervene if I'm stressing out and it's starting to affect me. So with what it is that you went through, how have you learned about yourself and stress and empowering yourself to stay on top of, you know, staying well during, you know, life's challenges?
Yeah, sure. So stress is a huge, I feel like stress is, when you are stressed out, you are more prone to have an attack. It just is. If you keep track of all of your attacks, which I highly recommend everyone do, you know, get a printout of the doctor's reports, get the MRI. So just keep that. And then you can review it as the years go by, and you're always going through something stressful. So I would say at this point, 17 years in, I keep my circle pretty tight. I surround myself with people that are like me, that that won't give me, my personality being prior service army, I hate sympathy. So I really I surround myself with people that will just be with me during it. Let's not talk about it. Let's not, you know, I don't want, oh, poor Nikki. But I do definitely limit. I know that weather affects me a lot. When it's hot out, I kind of limit. That's stressful to my body. So I limit times that I go outside. I've just kind of adjusted around what I know will be a trigger, even good stress. I've always been an entrepreneur. It's been about 9 years, but if I start getting really busy, and these are always things that I love, I can feel myself almost like, you feel like an attack is maybe a coming. And so I back way off. And I always tell people when they say, oh, Nikki, you're doing so great. Like what is, I'm like, you know what? I'm not a normal, like quote unquote normal. I'm special. So no, I'm not going to push myself to that limit. Cause even good stress I've found, causes attacks. Traveling, I can't get out of my routine. Routine is really good for me. And I know that it keeps me just calm and in my own routine and my own home. If I try to kind of change things up and travel a lot, go on vacations, I get back and I get sick. So it's just not worth it. I've just kind of changed my lifestyle around. It's different. It's not for everyone, but it works for me.
Sure. Well, to dive into stress a little bit, in your brilliance in coming up with routine, not that you probably stray from it from time to time, but routine gives us certainty. And when we don't have mm-hmm. certainty, we're usually stressed out. That's, you know, the last couple of years of all the uncertainty out there is what caused a lot of stress. And routine gives you certainty. So you can lean into that, and, you know, habits give us certainty and make life easier. And we can, you know, thrive better with certainty. Doesn't mean you have to have everything certain. So that leads me into my next questions about you and motorcycles. So tell us about how you got into motorcycles, because I'm not seeing a lot of certainty there.
Oh, that's so funny. So motorcycles was actually my way in 2011 to save my marriage. I thought, well, if I get my license while he's gone for the year, he'll think it's cool. Like he'll think it's hot. His wife can ride. And it really didn't really save our marriage. But what it did is it made me feel so empowered, because my legs were failing me. I couldn't run the distances, but you know what? I could get on my bike and I could ride the distances times 10, right? Like I could go, I could see, it was almost like a, you know what? Screw you, MS, because I'm on my motorcycle and I am seeing magnificent sights. So that was kind of how Harley riding came in, and I loved it. And recently, I actually, because of, I think of lesions on our body with MS, I think of them as like open wounds. And so when the sun is out, it's almost like it pounds on your open wounds, and it causes more fatigue. And so it's not that I can't hold a motorcycle up anymore. It's that when you ride, you ride when it's sunny and it's nice out and you get a good tan on those arms, right? Like that's when you ride. Well, I can't ride when it's hot like that because I have no energy to hold the bike up. So I recently actually got a trike, which at 42, I initially got the motorcycle also because hello, I was a hot blonde on a bike. Like, whew, look at that girl on that Harley. It was an ego thing for sure. You take my fitness, guess what? I'll turn it around and I'll be hot on a motorcycle. So the ego thing, you know, with a trike, I'm still not thrilled about riding a trike. I don't love it. It's only been a year. But hopefully as the years progress, I'll realize like, okay, I'm still out and about and I can still go on the, you know, mountain. I can go see the mountains. I can still do all the things, but I'm still not there yet.
Right. It's such a perspective thing because I know people I'll just say motorcycles with three wheels, and boy, are they stable, and they can handle corners, and like, I'm just been impressed by those bikes. So as soon as you
and
get
Maureen,
impressed with
it
yourself,
comes back. Maureen, say that again, it comes I'm sorry. Back to it. It comes back to an ego thing though. It's an ego because other people look at me and they're like, what do you mean? That's the most amazing bike. That's like the Cadillac of bikes, Nikki. And I'm like, you know what? I mean, it's definitely in my head because I know the reason I'm on a trike is not because I want to, it's because of multiple sclerosis. But other people don't see that. That is in Nikki's head. Yeah. That's in Nikki's head. And I need to, and I will. And it's just like, I'm telling, you know, your listeners about the progression of, you might not be able to do high intensity anymore, but you could do something else. Same thing with riding. Right. But I'm not there yet. It'll come.
I get it. I so get it. And I'm not going to change that for you. I'm just going to say, I hold you as a hot blonde on a really high performance bike. So maybe you'll get there. And enjoy it. But I understand it does. And I think that's what I see sometimes where people struggle is they want things to change quickly. Like they just want the answers now. They want the feelings to change. They want their experience to change. And being patient while still feeling these things that aren't real comfortable is part of being a warrior with this condition. Being a warrior isn't because everything's easy. And you figured it out quickly. That's not the case at all. I'm 30 years into this and I'm doing stuff I never imagined I'd be doing 30 years into it. And I still tell myself when I'm training, be patient. You can't force things into being. It just doesn't work that way. So thank you. You are a great example for what that looks like. So you have a wonderful podcast called Three Blondes, One Battle, that you share with two of your friends. I assume they are friends. They've got to be with your personality. Let's do this together. Can you tell us how that came to be? How it is you guys came to create an uplifting podcast together?
Yeah, sure. So I'm sort of funny. I mean, I'll just be real. I know how to talk. I like talking. And you know, I've been told for years, you should start a podcast. I'm like, what? Why? I have Facebook Lives. Like, why would I start a podcast? But the more I thought of it, I'm like, you know what? Maybe when it comes to all the weird things I do with MS, I'm definitely not one of your listeners that wait for all the science to come. Oh, it hasn't been out that long. I don't think I'm going to try it. I'm definitely a, hey, I'm going to give that a shot. Like, that's cool. or, you know, there's not much studies, just like nutrition. They're not going to say it helps MS. I don't care what they say. So I find the things that, you know, over the years have helped me. And I just thought, you know what, maybe make a list of all those things. And I found that the list was like 30 topics. I'm like, you know what, maybe I could start a podcast and I'll just talk about, I don't know, how I manage it, where I find the information about it. And just kind of a one-stop shop for how you can research these type of things without really having to research it, because I'm going to leave it in the show notes, right? Like it's, you don't really have to do much work. You just see the topic and then go to the show notes. And if you want to click it, click it. If you want to review it, review it. And when it comes to the ladies, I actually, Bobby's the youngest. She's had it for 10 years and I found her on Instagram. She's an influencer and I just thought she was hilarious. And she's also a veteran. She's Navy. And I thought, well, Jiminy Christmas, we've got so much in common. So I just reached out to her. I said, have you ever thought of being in a podcast? She's like, yes. So I love her personality. Tara, on the other hand, I've known for 17 years. I knew her the day I was that same month I was diagnosed, she was selling Copaxone. And I walked into this conference and I turned around to walk out because I saw all these people in wheelchairs. I'm like, oh no, turned around and walked out. She's like, hey, are you here for the conference? And she looked just like me, same age. And I thought, huh, what's your name? So that's kind of how I met her. But yes, we all manage MS. They do manage with drugs. I'm drug free. We're all very aware of nutrition and of our bodies, and we're believers. So we just have a lot in common and we just have a lot to say. So I feel like it's a platform to say things that most people don't talk about. Last week was about pelvic floor. When's the last time you heard about somebody talk about pee and pooping and pleasure when it comes to MS? I've never heard it. So I guess we just, we have fun just talking about things that, we don't find out there in the podcast world. When you type in multiple sclerosis, it's a lot of doctors talking or people that have started it and then fade out, and they start and then 6 months later they stop. There's really nothing uplifting out there when it comes to podcasts and MS. So we started Three Blondes.
Look at this podcast. Look at look what guest we have on here today.
Yeah. Yeah.
What I find is there is uplifting stuff out there, but you have to be clear about what you're looking for. Because I've had people on this show that have said they just couldn't find anything uplifting.
Sure.
And what happens when people can't find things that are uplifting, like yourself, they create it. And there's a lot of people like you and David, myself, that have created something that we yearn for and wanted to see in the world. Because sometimes we can just fall. It's human nature to if you're not conscious of it, to fall into the status quo. And the status quo around MS is usually drug and kind of woe is me. And people like yourself are saying, there's more. And there's more you can do for yourself, and there's more to life. Absolutely. So thank you and your three friends that I'm sure you guys have a ball just doing the show.
That's
great.
We do.
That's great. So I will put your podcast in the show notes so people can find it. And my final question for you, Nikki, is with all the things that you have to share, and like you said, you just started jotting down notes and there was 30 topics, and I'm sure there's 30 topics that pop up every day in your brain. But what's the one main through line or the one thing that you're passionate about sharing with people living with MS?
One main thing. So, I mean, I would just a perspective and like you were saying, it's up to you. It's up to you whether you are going to take control of what you've been handed, or if you're going to just let fear control it, because it can be very scary being diagnosed with this disease, or it could be a challenge. It could be a challenge, and it actually can make you more self-aware of what you were before you are diagnosed. It forces you to be aware of what you're putting in your mouth. It forces you to be aware of that ego once things maybe not for you, but if things, let's say if things start being taken away from you physically, it's a choice. And I think it's exciting to be able to be that person that can share with others, because there's millions of other people going through what you're going through. So would you rather be a, oh, poor me, look at what's happening to my life? Or would you rather inspire others that are newly diagnosed? I think I'd rather inspire and encourage and, you know, just be a friend to those with MS and not a person that kind of scares them when they look at your life. I would say that.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you are that. And
well, thank you.
Proven it, you're living it. And you know, and you're out there saying, you know, this is messy, but we have choices, or you have a choice, I have a choice. This is what I've done with my life, and this is what I continue to do with my life. And you know, and MS is along for the ride. So thank you so much for sharing your story, your wisdom, your high energy, your personality. You are fantastic to have in the MS community, and we're all better for it.
Well, thank you so much for having me on.
Well, that's going to be a wrap for this episode. Remember, episodes of the MS Fitness Challenge podcast are available to download on Apple, Google, Spotify, and Simplecast. A great way to support the MS Fitness Challenge is by sharing, rating, and reviewing this podcast. The more people we can reach, the more impact we can have. As we close out, remember to visit msfitnesschallenge.org and check out all the great resources we have for you there. And to be sure to get involved with our awesome MS Fitness Challenge Facebook group. To all those listening, to all the MS warriors out there, thank you for listening. Keep striving, keep believing, and together we can be stronger than MS.